Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Male Spouse Brief. I hope you guys are having a great week. Some stuff going on in our week right now is Cade's, most of his battery went on a field op, but a bunch of guys were left back just because they didn't have enough room to take them all to 29 Palms. And so he's been having to do like long work days because they kind of had the mentality of like, well, if you're not on the field op and the guys that are on the field op are working, you're gonna have to work too. So he has to work Saturdays for a couple weeks, which he's pretty bummed about, but hopefully it'll all be okay. So other than that, that's what's pretty much going on. I've been doing a lot of research and planning some really fun episodes for the podcast. So May has some really good episodes coming up and I'm really excited. I've learned a lot and I hope you guys will enjoy them as well. And then we've just been doing stuff around the house and getting everything ready. I'm hosting a baby shower in a couple weeks. So just kind of doing like last minute decor things, and I'm the type of person that like wants the house to look good if we're having a bunch of people over. So I've been doing that. And then I officially graduate next Tuesday, so I'm really excited. I'll have a degree in public relations and have tried to kind of been figuring out what I want to do with that and looking at opportunities and working on my resume and all that kind of fun stuff. So I'm really excited for that. Today we have a really exciting guest. Her name's Stephanie. She's super sweet. It was so fun talking with her. I really love having guests on the podcast. Because if you're a guest, you can kind of attest to this, that like before the podcast and even after, we'll chat a little bit. And I just love the fact that I get to meet new people and get to kind of create these relationships. And it's just so fun. And you get to learn things. And Stephanie kind of bonded over the fact that we both are big planner people and we write everything down and we have lists and our budget sheets and all that kind of fun stuff. So it's really fun getting to know different military spouses, and I feel like it helps us kind of create a bond because we are going through the same things with our service members and deployments and all that kind of stuff. And so I hope you guys enjoy this episode. She gave a really cool perspective. I learned a lot and I hope you guys did too. All right, so I'm here with Stephanie. So, Stephanie, how about you introduce yourself?
Well, hello. My name is Stephanie Abbey. I am 19 years old, going on 20 in July, and I'm a full-time teaching assistant for preschoolers, two to three-year-olds.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I love my little guys. They are so cute. And I'm a military wife. Do you want me to introduce my wife, kind
of? Yeah.
Okay. So, my wife is Emily Abbey. And she is a radio operator. She's been in for about 4 years. She's been to Camp Pendleton, Miramar, and we're moving to Virginia in July.
That's so exciting. Yeah, so did she re-enlist?
Yes,
okay.
She did. She re-enlisted while she was on deployment these past few months.
What were your thoughts about that?
Deployment?
Well, her re-enlisting.
When she left, she was kind of like on the border of it, but I think it was like a previous podcast that you guys have like, you know, said stuff about deployment and, you know, how re-enlisting kind of plays a part in that. And so I think she was like, okay, what I have set out to do, she's not done with. Because she's talked about DI school.
Okay.
And so I think that's kind of her ultimate goal.
Which is drill instructor school.
Yes, okay. Correct. And so I think she, you know, wants to still fulfill that. And she was hoping for orders to Hawaii because that's where her other best friend is going.
Oh my gosh, that'd be
but
so cool.
She got the East Coast. But
so
like,
Virginia,
okay.
Are you guys going to Quantico?
Yes, we're going to Quantico. And it's nice because it's closer to home.
Yeah.
You know, being from Michigan, it's only an 8-hour drive. So it was like, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas might be a
way better
drive
than
home.
Being here in California.
Yeah, because I haven't been home in over a year.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's all right. You know, need some space from family, but, you know, mm-hmm. I miss them too.
So if she wants to do drill instructor school, because Camp Pendleton is now doing women platoons. Like, this is, I believe that the first women platoon just graduated, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So would you guys want to go to Paris Island and stay East Coast, or would you want to come back here if she got drill instructor school?
I want to say she wanted to stay East Coast.
Yeah.
Just because it's close to family, and, like, I would have to stay wherever we are, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would just be easier to have her, like, in the same time zone.
Yeah.
And just a little bit away. And I don't honestly think she would want to, you know, do all that flying again.
That's true.
She likes to kind of stay stationary somewhere.
Well, yeah, and especially if you are on Quantico now and then she's able to do drill instructor school, you guys would be able to, like, stay East Coast and
used to all that. Yeah, I want to say some of her friends who have done DI school have done it over there, too.
Okay.
So, I think that's, you know, she wants to go through that same process.
Like, yeah. Did she go... So, obviously, she went to Paris Island for her boot camp, yeah. Right? Okay. That's so cool. That's where Cade went, too.
Yeah.
So, okay, so she is a radio operator, and she just re-enlisted. How did you guys meet?
We met in high school.
Okay.
We were kind of just friends, and up until she left, she had another girlfriend when she went to Paris Island.
Okay.
And then they came back, you know, she had matured a bit, her, you know, girlfriend didn't.
Yeah.
And so we were just kind of like friends, whatever, and then, I mean, I had always liked her, I had always flirted with her, she's like, I have a girlfriend, I'm like, okay, well, let me know when you know.
That is so funny.
So then... Once she came back, you know, we rekindled and all that stuff, and then was like, okay, I think we kind of like this.
Yeah.
And then, so that following Christmas, we, you know, made it official.
Oh my gosh, that's
so
awesome.
And so that was fun. And we did the long distance, too.
Okay.
Cause
how long did you guys do long distance for?
I want to say about 2 years. My junior and senior year, the year after I graduated, that summer.
Yeah.
I moved out to California.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
But we weren't married yet.
Oh my gosh. So how did that work?
I ended up living close to, like, downtown San Diego.
Okay.
And she was stationed at Miramar.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't too bad, but 2 months in, she ended up moving to Camp Pendleton.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, no, like, I just got settled here, and now you're moving. So with having to do work and school, I was doing full-time school, full-time work, and then, like, trying to see her, especially with how bad the traffic gets up there.
I cannot imagine doing the 5 all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, it's what it was. And it was backed up traffic for, like, at least an hour.
Yeah.
And then we weren't married, so I had to wait at the gate, like the
because you didn't even have an ID.
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh.
And then it was a 30-minute drive back to her barracks.
What area was she staying in?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
But it was about 30 minutes away from the main gate.
Yeah, so she was probably like Polgus or Horno or...
Yeah, because we weren't there for very long before we ended up getting married.
Oh God, you had to do all that. Like, there's either a ring on my finger or I'm going back.
Right. And there was also kind of some discrimination in the, like, area that I was in. Like,
really?
With one of my roommates. I had, like, a French roommate who, like, we shared a room, and she was really cool. But then there was, like, another guy that, like, you know, wasn't really about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up contacting the person that owned the place and was like, I don't feel comfortable with her having a girlfriend over here. I don't want her over here anymore. So then the landlord was like... You know, you can't have your girlfriend over unless without contacting him in advance and, like, setting something up. So that was, like, my first time. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, what do I do? I'm never going to be able to see my girlfriend.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, I've been to Cade's barracks, so I went to him. I think the first time I went was, like, we had just gotten married and he was packing up his stuff for his deployment. And I was like, I can understand why you're low-key depressed living in this cylinder blocks that is tiny and disgusting. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, it is.
And so, like, you're not gonna want to hang out there. She probably had a roommate.
Yeah.
So you're like, what, am I supposed to, like, chill here on this tiny twin bed and, like, look at your roommate too? Like,
yeah, very, very uncomfortable. So we ended up fixing that pretty quick.
Yeah. So you guys got married. When did you get married?
That was October 23rd, 2020.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
I think it was 2020. Was it 2020?
Like, last October?
Oh, no, it was 2019. Oh, my gosh. I've been married for a long time.
That's so exciting.
And, like, I think the part of it is the deployment. Like,
yeah.
Because she left before we hit our 1 year.
I guess.
She left in September of 2020.
And then she just got back,
just got back. It was kind of, like, an unannounced thing. She was like, oh, come pick me up. And I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. How was that?
It was kind of intense. Like, I was, like, nervous.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, oh, my gosh, like, you're coming home? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing it. Like, it's okay.
Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. So, now she's home, and you said her job is a radio?
Radio operator.
So, what does, like, that entail? What does that deal with?
She doesn't like to talk about her work.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's just kind of, she's one of those people, like, you know, my job is my job, and, like, when I come home, let's just not talk about it. I mean, because sometimes I can tell she'll have a bad day, and I'm like, oh, like, how was work? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. And, you know, I mean, I think we don't really talk about our work that much. The only time I talk about it now is when I have, like, stories about the kids.
Yeah. Do you like that you have that separation, like, your home life is strictly, like, your home life type thing?
Oh, I think definitely, because, like, you know, I do my own work and all that stuff, and then I come home, and it's, like, not about what happened then. It's about, like, almost like a fresh start. Like, we're starting over here. Like, this is our time. And we have two dogs, so attending to them, too.
What kind of dogs do you guys have?
We have a Belgian Malinois and, like, a mutt. She was supposed to be a black lab, but she's, like, boxer, black lab.
Oh, that's so cool. Different other things. So they keep you busy?
Oh, yeah. And they're big chewers, too, so we always like to go shopping with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. So what is her command life? So, like, if you said that when work doesn't really come home, do you feel like her job, what are her hours like type thing?
Before deployment, it was, like, probably, like, 12, 14 hours, like, every single day.
Yeah.
That was really hard on top of the stress of, like, you know, she's about to leave and wanting to spend all this time with her. I'm like, just come home. And we live in Valley Center now, which is about a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
On top of traffic.
Is there a reason you guys chose that area?
We were living in Oceanside, but then we met those other roommates.
Okay.
And so we decided to move in with them because I was like, I know I'm going to struggle when you leave.
Yeah.
And, like, being by myself is not a good option. And I'm like, I think having some friends would be great.
Definitely.
And so we got together and we got this 3-bedroom house out in Valley Center. Pretty good price. It's a whole bunch of land. Like, oh, I like so being cool. able to let the dogs out and they can just roam, do their thing, come back when they're done. So that's how we ended up out there. And Emily was like, I'm not about this drive. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You do it for 2 months and you go on deployment.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, you don't really have a say because, I mean, I work in Escondido, so it's only like a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, 15, it's not 20 bad.
Minutes. Not too bad.
Do you still live with the other married couple?
Yes, only the one.
Okay.
Do
you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that. So that's how we kind of ended up living together, and we like hung out for, I want to say, 3-4 months before we decided to move in. We lived in the same like apartment complex.
Okay, cool.
So we were like always like at seeing each other, yeah. And this was like when like the pandemic first happened.
Oh, okay.
So the wife was out of a job, and her husband's in the military.
Okay.
So I was out of a job, too. So we, like, were hanging out all day,
every day. Yeah, because you just had nothing to do.
Yeah, we had nothing to do, getting along really great.
And your husband's her husband, your wife is at work, so you're
exactly.
Like,
so that ended up working out, and Emily ended up doing night shifts, so she would, like, sleep during the day. I'm like, I just don't want to look at you sleep.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd go out with her and do stuff. But once we moved in together, things were all right for a little bit. But as you live with somebody, just like when you get married, you realize, like, oh, there's some things that I don't like that you do.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, what did I get myself into? And
what were, like, the biggest things that you were like, oh, my gosh.
I'm not, like, a clean freak, but I can kind of be, like, a clean freak.
Yeah.
I, like, am always cleaning. Like, it's always something. And they, like, were not like that. So they'd leave, like, you know, they'd make something and it would be on the counter for like a few days.
Oh my gosh. And like a communal kitchen and you're like, this is disgusting.
And I'm like, I cannot live like this. And so I tried to do like the friendly reminders, like, oh, can we take care of that? Like, yeah, we're getting to it. And
it's hard because they're not your spouse. Because you can like set different expectations with your spouse and you can kind of like, I don't want to say demand things, but like Kate and I like have our separate like chores. Like Kate takes out the trash. I do the bathroom, you know, like things like that. And you're able to like decide that. And then if he forgets, I'm like, yo, take out the trash.
Yeah.
You know, like, but
like holding him accountable for the stuff.
But it's harder when you do that with like a roommate. Cause I remember that with my own roommates. And then with like your friends too. Cause you're like, I don't want to ruin this relationship, but we have very different cleaning styles. And this is frustrating.
Yes. Very frustrating. And I think like, almost the activity level was, like, different. Like, they would, like, just sit around in the house and do whatever. And I'm like, oh, let's go do something. I was like, no, okay. It's like, okay, well, you know, that became a struggle when I was by myself.
Oh, true.
Because I'm like, I don't have anyone to go hang out with. I'm like, you're my front line. And, you know, you just want to sit and do nothing all day, which was fine. We also, her name was Kate. Kate and I ended up working at the same place.
Oh, cool. So you guys did see each other, like, all day.
Yeah, it was pretty frequently. And so that, like, kind of got frustrating after a while, just because she had a tendency to, like, you know, not want to go in or call out. And so, like, if she calls out sick, we live together. So I would have to stay home.
Why couldn't you just go in?
Just because of COVID. That's what it was.
So they were like, well, one of you can't come in and one of you can't not come in.
Yeah. So they were like, you both have to stay out. And there was one time she, like, I mean, she was fine that night, and she ended up calling out in the morning. So they called me, and they're like, oh, you should go get a COVID test. Like, Kate's not feeling well.
That's hard.
And that Friday, like, I got, like, I was offered to do something really special. Like, it was kind of like a creative painting that I would go and learn, and then I would teach the staff and students how to do it. So I was like, cool. That's a big opportunity. Yeah. Like, they're putting a lot of trust in me, and we couldn't go in because we had those pending COVID tests. And, like, she was just, like, she was fine. She, like, went out the next, like, that same day.
Yeah, so she's doing work.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's so frustrating, like, for me.
No, definitely.
And they didn't have the healthiest relationship either.
That can be tough.
Like, there were times where, like, she was, like, throwing things, like, at him.
And you're, like, in the same house.
Yeah, and, like, I'm just, like, eating dinner, like, oh, my gosh.
Like, what do I say? What do I do?
Yeah. But they ended up kind of, like, you know, falling apart eventually. He went away. He actually went to Michigan.
Okay.
For some training or something, I guess. And then she ended up going home to Iowa. And then, you know, he came back and she wanted to stay there for a little bit. And then the next thing you know, she came home. The next day, she packed all her stuff, took the car, and left.
So is he now living there or just you guys?
He's living there by himself. Okay. He's going to finish out the lease. And then once the lease is up in July when we leave.
Oh, perfect.
So he's going to have to, like, find a place something for, like, 2 months before he gets out.
Are they technically still married or no?
Yes. And, okay. I mean, my wife and I have, like, talked to him, like, oh, what are you thinking about doing? Because he still is, like, paying a lot of stuff for her, and she just keeps asking for more money, and I'm like, I don't, like, want to see him go through that.
Yeah, no, that's tricky. Because I'm like,
you know, you make your own money, she has her own job, she doesn't need gas money from you now.
Yeah, no. But that's definitely tricky.
Yeah, so it's hard because, like, especially when they were going through that stuff, she would talk a lot of, like, bad shit about him. Yeah. And, like, I'm like, I live with this dude. I know he's not a bad guy. Like, he's not some manipulator. Like, and so it was kind of difficult to, like, try to be there for her. And she's like, oh, my marriage is falling apart. And she was trying to put the blame on him when she was really tough to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a very interesting dynamic.
Yes.
Wow.
And so, like, you know, because it was hard because we were friends first. And so, like, I want to be there for her. But it's hard when you really don't agree with what someone's doing.
Oh, for sure. And it's also, like, do we have a good enough friendship to be, like, listen here? Because you guys obviously are still new friends. Like, there are certain friends that I could be, like, some of my best friends that I've known for years and years and years. I can be, like, Claire, you need to stop. Like, this is what you're doing. River, come on.
Yeah.
But, like, there's other friends that, like, either I just met or I don't know as well that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could, like, tell you exactly what you need to hear. You know? Because, like, there's just that you don't have, it's if, do you have enough of a foundation that they won't take it, like, oh, you're attacking me, but that you're looking out for me in the best interest? Or are they going to be like, oh, you're attacking me, you're siding with him?
Yes. So, and that's, like, exactly how she would take it, too. Like, I mean, there were times where I chatted about it and she was just like, whose side are you on? And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe we should talk about something else.
Yeah. So, talk about how you kind of dealt with the deployment. Now that she's home, are you like, oh, thank heavens, this is so much better?
I think we're still early on in, like, the, you know, coming home phase. So, I mean, I think we're still trying to, like, feel everything out.
Yeah.
But there's, like, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, the 7 stages of deployment. Most people who, like, have gone through one are familiar with them. But there's,
no,
like,
I haven't.
Yeah, there's, like, different stages of deployment. And, like, the first 3 are, like, the absolute hardest.
Yeah.
And
are they, like, you're crying all day?
And yeah, pretty much. There's, like, kind of, like, the first one is that, like, anticipation of, like, you're gonna leave.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like that's the worst.
Yes. That was pretty bad.
Oh, yes.
When, like, that was almost, like, I, like, wanted to push her out the door. So, I'm like, the faster you leave, the faster you can come home.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of tension in our relationship there, like, and also that, you know, we were so young, like, that communication, like, our marriage was still very young, not even a year old.
Yeah.
Trying to communicate, like, how I felt about it, and then, like, her rebuttaling with, like, I'm gonna go through those same things, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of, like, we ended up, I think, getting a little bit further right before she left.
Yeah. So, I have a question.
Yes.
Because you guys are both girls. Do you feel like, so for, I'll like kind of give an example. So like for me and my husband, because boy and girl, we're very different when it comes to like emotions and the way we process things. So Cade's like, I'm going to be fine, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, I need to communicate. I need to talk it out. I need to like elaborate on this, you know, like even if we get in a fight, after the fight's over, I'm like, we need to debrief. And he's like, roll over and go to bed. And I'm like, oh no, we need to debrief this. Like, I can't just roll over. So do you feel like that dynamic changes because you guys are both girls where you're like both kind of dealing with the same emotions the same way? Or do you feel like, no, it is different?
I think it is different in our relationship specifically. I think it would definitely vary from relationship to relationship.
Yeah.
And person to person. But I mean, she tends to be more like reserved about her feelings. Mm-hmm. And she's even told me before, she's like, well, I don't like reflect on them. And I'm like, how? I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
And so like, I totally understand, you know, like I want to talk about it. That's how I am. I'm like, okay, we need to have like this conversation. Like, I know it's going to be difficult for you. And majority of the conversation is like me just word vomiting whatever I feel. And
exactly.
Her, she's like, yeah, I understand. I hear you. And I'm like, that's all I need to hear is that I've heard. But I mean, there's some things where like, you know, she does, you know, I don't know if she like feels more than a guy would.
Yeah.
But there's definitely times where I'm like, you know, like that's making you upset right now. You know, kind of like almost as if I was a guy, like, really?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I want to say it was the other day. I want to say I said something. She just like started to like get teary eyed. And I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, do you want to talk about it? And she's like, no, I'm fine. And I was just like, okay. She's like, let's just make dinner together. And I'm like, okay. Like, if that's how she needs to deal with things. And I always open that conversation to her, but I think we're trying to still pick away at, like, the best way for her to communicate her feelings. Because on deployment, we definitely, like, did that a lot through email.
Yeah.
And it's, like...
Was she on a ship?
Yeah, she was on a ship. And I feel like it was a lot easier to do it that way, because you got time to, like, sit there, think about what you want to say or how you're feeling. Like,
oh, my gosh. Writing is... It is the perfect... If I cannot communicate how I'm feeling, writing it down is the best, because you're able to be like, oh, do I really mean that? Or, like, do I really want to say that?
Exactly.
Or, actually, I don't actually feel that upset about that. I want to, like, focus on this instead, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes when I write, like, either if I, like, have to text him a big paragraph, he's like, read, let me respond to the last three sentences.
Yes!
And you're like,
yes.
I'm sorry, did you not see paragraph 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yes, no. I would totally get that, because I would write really long emails, and then she would just, like, respond a few things. I'm just like, that's all I have to say. But
that is so funny.
Because I almost, since we're just, like, so fresh, like, getting back, I don't want to be, like, every time we talk, I'm, like, trying to have, like, a couple's therapy session about how we can work on ourselves. I'm still trying to, like, you know, let things play out, because I'm sure she's adjusting. I mean, she hasn't been by herself for, like, a whole 8 months.
Yeah.
Like, there's always someone within 10 feet of her.
And so
I'm like, if you need your space, like, that's fine. Like, I asked her if she wanted to come, and she was like, you know, I think, like, having the time to just debrief and be alone would be great.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like, cool, you do what you need to do.
Yeah. I think that's, like, Kate's favorite thing about the podcast. She's always like, oh, that's, like, Ken's time. That's my time, you know? And, like, sometimes I'll make him, like, come out at the end. I'm like, hey, come meet this person. And he's like, okay, because he's, like, not social, like,
that's how my wife is.
And I'm like, come on, and, like, we'll talk to anybody, and, you know, he's like, oh my gosh, you were so crazy, and I'm like, I met this friend on the plane, or I met this friend at the store, and he's like, what? Like,
why
you know?
Why are you talking to people?
I know. Okay, so, with the military, what do you feel like has been your wife's experience being a girl in the military?
Oh, I think, that definitely has its challenges, because I feel like when people think of the military, it's like kind of like male dominated.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there's been times where I've been like making calls and stuff, I'm like, oh, my spouse, and they're like, oh, what does your husband do? And it's like, you know, trying to have to like correct that, and people are like, oh sorry, and it's like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, I just, people's first thought, I guess, especially for girls on the phone, is that your husband is in the military.
Does that get frustrating? Does that get old? Or are you more like used to it?
I think it more or less depends on the response. Because there's been a few times where I've been like, oh, my wife. And they're like, what is your husband? Or like, his. And I'm like, my wife, she. And they like, you know, keep tripping up on themselves. Or sometimes I feel like I'm like, they have to be doing it on purpose. I'm like, am I not saying it clear enough? But most of them are like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, that's fine. I mean, people aren't, I guess if you're not in that community, you're not necessarily triggered to respond that way. Like, mm-hmm. before then, I'd have been like, oh, like, if I was talking to a girl, oh, like, you know, who is he?
Yeah.
Rather, but now I'm more like, who are they? Or, oh, okay, you know, yeah. That
so using, you feel like your brain's more shifted to, like, not assume.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes after a while, like, especially if I, like, just meet people, they're like, oh, what does your husband do? And it's, sometimes it feels like, oh, you know me well enough to assume that I have a wife, or that I have a husband.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, I know that's not how they're thinking. It's just kind of, like, their normal reaction.
Yeah. It's kind of, like, I think more of a societal thing versus
yeah.
a...
Yeah, it's not like they're trying to, like,
yeah.
undermine
the... But that's hard, though, because I feel like, I don't want to say society's shifting, but society's shifting. Like, you yeah. know, it's not that gay marriage wasn't something that, like, happened, but it's talked about more. It's obviously now allowed,
yeah.
like, legally, you know?
That's great.
So I feel like it's shifting a lot more. I feel like 20 years ago, you wouldn't put your pronouns in your bio.
Yeah.
That's, or, like, super yeah. popular now. Or, like, how you want to be addressed. Or, yeah, who you're married to. Or, obviously, for so long, it was you didn't tell people that
yeah.
you were gay. You know? So that's that whole thing where it's now, it's, like, I can be proud and open about it. And I think the younger generations... It's not, I don't want to say confusing, but it's not, like, as much of a, like, shift in your mind. Because you're like, yeah, who are you married to?
Yeah,
like,
they're kind of used to that stuff.
We're like, my grandparents are like, this is new. And you're like, okay, well, like, hop on board, okay?
Yeah.
But it's obviously just so, because I feel like it's obviously always been. Mm-hmm. But when you didn't have it being allowed, and then when it wasn't, like, popular or talked about, your mind shifts. So, like, that is very interesting. Do you feel like in the military, it's male dominated, and then you have some females, and then you have some females that are heterosexual and some females that aren't. Do you feel like that adds another layer to your wife's, like, pressure of the military? Or do you feel like she's treated not, like, better, but they're like, how do they kind of view, how do you feel like the military views your wife like that?
That's a really good question. And I can't, like, speak for my wife.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know she hasn't quite had any issues.
That's good.
I wonder, well, because she has, like, she had a really short cut.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wonder if she tried to, like, you know, push herself a bit more, you know, could try to, like, I mean, people would call her sir all the time, especially really? With the mask.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that doesn't really bother her.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, almost kind of, like, having to maintain some sort of standard. And she has very high standards for herself,
yeah.
both, like, physically, mentally, emotionally. Like, she sets herself up at a very high standard. But, I mean, I know she has a few other friends that are in the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
That she's, like, worked with. So I don't think it's ever really been an issue, but more or less like a personal goal kind of thing that she
yeah.
always tries to achieve.
That's awesome. So you do feel like her command has been very, like, respectful and, like, inclusive and things
oh,
like
yeah.
that?
I think yes, definitely. I mean, she was at Miramar for a while. She really loved that. But then, like I said, 2 months after we got out here, we moved to Camp Pendleton. She was with one unit, and then, like, she was there for, like, I want to say 10 days, and they pushed her out to the, like, on the Mew.
Oh, okay.
And so then she was with them. They were really great.
That's awesome.
We had, like, a bunch of get-togethers and stuff. And, you know, everyone treated her with as much respect as they did anybody else. And that
that's
was,
great.
Like, awesome. So we really liked that.
No, that's really good. How do you, have you, like, gotten to meet other wives, other spouses? Like, what's the dynamic of her, like, unit? Have you, like, got to know people, or?
Not really. I mean... Oh, there's been quite a few, actually. I want to say there's two people that were, like, kind of close with one. Like, I hung out with him
mm-hmm.
A lot while she was deployed. And then he didn't end up going on the deployment. They moved him back to a different unit. But somebody else, too. Like, we didn't hang out, but, like, you know, there was, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, can you pick me up? Or, like, you know,
yeah.
whatever, something like that. And just kind of, like, see if they were available or how they were doing, different things like that. But, I mean, I did work at... the Denny's on the Miramar base for Hominid.
Oh, cool.
And so I met one of the spouses there, and her husband is still down there. We hang out all the time. Like,
oh, that's
you know,
so
we're
fun.
Really close. So that's like, you know, kind of my friend group. But
yeah.
I mean, Emily does stuff with her friends. I mean, they're pretty much all deployed right now, but she did. And so that was great.
No, that's awesome. Do you feel like you guys have a lot more similar friends? Do you feel like you guys really do have, like, separate friend groups?
Oh, I want to say we definitely have separate friend
okay.
groups, besides, like, maybe, like, one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't, I think that's, like, interesting. I guess we haven't, like, been together with, like, a large enough group. Because most of the time that we've spent together was either we just got married, so we want to spend all that time together.
Yeah.
And then she was just about to leave, so we want to spend all that time together. And then now she just got home, so we want to spend all that time together.
Yeah, which totally makes sense.
And so we haven't really had, like, you know, the time to really, like, go out and, like, create a friend group together.
Yeah.
And, but that's definitely a hope for over in Virginia and Quantico. Yeah. Something we've talked about, like, doing more activities on base since we're trying to live on base.
Yeah.
We've always lived off base. So, like, we haven't had that on base experience, and mm-hmm. I feel like there's more of, like, a closer community. Because, yeah. I mean, you all kind of go to the same place, or, like,
yeah.
you have the same neighbors, and you're going through the same stuff.
Definitely.
So I think that'll give us a better opportunity to have friends together, because I don't think we really have.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that Cade and I are trying to, like, work on, is, like, making more friends together, or, like, couples that we can hang out with, or, you know, things like that. I think for me it's been, that's probably been my biggest struggle being out here, is making friends. Yeah. I feel like it's a lot harder than I expected.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, being an adult and making friends is so hard, but, like, I just feel like it's harder, you know? And then I feel like being a military spouse, and I don't feel like all civilians are like this, but something that I've kind of encountered is that, and I don't know if you felt like this because you guys are leaving, but it's like, yeah, we can be friends, but I'm leaving. And
yeah.
Like, you have this, like, yeah, we're gonna be friends, but does our friendship, will it be strong enough to, like, last distance type
yeah.
thing? And so you have this, like, and I don't know if that's really bad to have. It probably isn't, like, the best, but I'm also like, gonna be here long term, and it's
yeah.
like, it's that hard thing. But then I remember one of my best friends lived in Ohio for like 4 months, and now I see her once or twice a year, and so I'm kind of like, come on, Kenzie, you can't have that mentality, like, anything
yeah.
if you put the effort in and you click, it will work. But I still feel like it's just hard, because you're like, well, is it going to? And I feel like it's just hard. I do know that, like, tons of people make a lot of friends on base, and there's a lot of groups, and I don't know if you feel this way since we both don't have kids, but I feel like a lot of times kids are what help you make friends, because you're like, oh, we can have a
yeah.
play date with our kids, and we don't have animals too, so I can be like, oh, you can go walk our dogs together, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't have anything to, like, make friends with.
Right, you're like trying to find, you're like fishing for a connection.
Yeah.
Like, I need something to bond myself to somebody.
Yeah.
Something we can connect with.
Exactly. So I think that's, like, the hardest thing with making friends, and then, like, being in the military, and then it's like, and then I think the best thing is, when I'm like, oh, Cade, we, like, found a couple we can hang out with, because then I'm like, I get to hang out with Cade and them, you know, like,
yeah.
everyone gets a friend. So, you talked about how you guys have your finances separate.
Yes,
you want to kind of, like, talk about what made you guys decide that, how you feel like that's best for you, what that entails?
So, when we got married, we kind of, like, I was like, oh, so we're, like, joint account? She was just like, no, and I was like, okay, I'm like, okay, then what? And then we're just like, okay, we just do it separate. And so she has, like, all her money that she makes, I guess, we have, like, a shared account. We
okay.
both have Navy Fed, so we have a shared account that, like, we kind of put the money for rent, utilities,
yeah.
all that stuff. We put that in there.
Okay.
So we can both utilize it, and we'll also use that for the dogs.
Yeah.
Or just, like, extra stuff that we do together. Like, let's say we're going on a date, you know,
yeah.
we'll just pull from the shared account. But the money I make is mine, and the money that she makes is hers, so we can
okay.
spend that accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way we kind of decided that is, like, we realized that we had different spending styles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she wants something, she'll buy it, but not, like, unreasonably.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm more like, if I don't need it, I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah, you're more of a saver.
Yeah, more of a saver. And also, like, I have, like, you know, I want to go back to university over in Quantico. I want to find
cool.
something that works. And so I know I needed to set aside, like, a large sum of money to help
yeah.
pay for college.
Did you know that there, and I'm going to mess up the acronym, but there is a scholarship for military spouses. I think it's, like, $2,000 or $3,000.
Oh, okay.
For, like, whatever you can get, like, a certificate with it. You can put it towards tuition. Like, you can use that. So, I don't know if you knew about
no,
that.
I
but
didn't
you
know
can,
about that.
It's, like, MYCCAS, MCYAS, something like that. I'll find it for you and
okay.
I'll send it to you. But it's, like, $2,000 to $3,000. Strictly for military spouses.
And I want to say, I did something, so I don't know if it was the same thing, but I want to say the grant would be like $4,000, but I could only take the classes that they offered.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean,
I don't
like,
know.
I
have a lot of friends that have taken, used it for different universities. Like,
okay.
it has to qualify for the university, but I'm pretty sure, like, because it's a military spouse scholarship, it's not something like this school is offering the scholarship.
Yeah.
But just so you know.
Okay, well, that's
really yeah, I'll send it to you. But, okay, so you're wanting to go back to university, so you're like, okay, I gotta save some money for
that. Yeah, because I'm like, that's gonna be some expensive. And then, and then suddenly, like, well, you know, universities probably have different things, like, you know, because you're a military spouse, they might have benefits for you. And, like, out here, I got really lucky because I ended up getting free tuition at community.
Oh, that's so nice.
Like, for both years. I know I would get free tuition after my first year mm-hmm. here, but they ended up just giving it to me once I got married, and I was like, that's nice. Awesome.
What are you wanting to just go to school for?
I think I'm going to continue with my child development units.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And see where that takes me. I still want to get, like, my foot in the door at a few other places before I completely decide, like,
yeah.
this is, like, the ultimate career for me. Because mm-hmm. some days I'm like, yes, absolutely. And then other days I'm like, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life?
Right.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of how it is with every job.
Definitely.
But I feel like I need more of a taste than just one place to yeah. decide if I want to do this for the rest of my life. Especially with the military. You're moving all the time. It's not going to be the same everywhere. And it sucks because with child development and teaching, like, it differs from state to state. So oh, I'm like, okay, I get a degree here and then it doesn't work over there. Great, got to go back to school.
Yeah, I know that's super frustrating. Do you feel like there... What do you feel like are the benefits of having your finances separate? And what do you feel like are the... Not consequences, but, like...
You know, kind
the
of like
cons,
downsides.
Yeah, the downsides.
I think like it's definitely like a sense of independence,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. And like, you know, I know exactly where my money is going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can, if I want to give myself a $400 budget for the month, I can go ahead and do that and not have to worry about any consequences. And you know, I can give myself more leeway if I really want something.
Yeah.
Which is super nice. Downside is like when we PCS.
Yeah.
And like. You know, when we move, I don't have a job right away. I've like started to apply and try to get things lined up, but I know I'm probably gonna go like 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks without any type of income.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of where I'm like, ah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know, she's guaranteed a paycheck no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's going to be a separate conversation. Like, you know, I didn't willingly leave my job,
yeah.
so we need to find some sort of compensation.
Yeah.
Because we're taking her car, and I'm flying mine out there.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a couple grand, I think.
Yeah, about 2-3 grand.
Yeah, probably somewhere in there. And so, like, you know, it's almost like I'm sacrificing this. I would like something in
yeah,
return.
For sure. How do you feel like certain expenses, like grocery or furniture or things like that, is that your joint account that you pull from?
The groceries I've kind of always bought. I'm the cooker in
yeah.
the relationship. She's trying to get into that. But I mean, when she was deployed, it was just me buying for myself. So I bought that. We kind of like split up some utilities so that like I would learn to have like my own responsibilities. Cause I went from living with my parent,
yeah.
like my mom, to living by myself. And like, now I'm like, okay, I'm responsible for some stuff. For stuff like my car payment
yeah.
and, you know, car insurance and stuff. But, you know, I'm like, I feel like I need some more responsibility.
Yeah.
So then
do
I
you
took
have
a few
those
bills.
Things together, like car insurance or phone or anything like that?
No, those are all separate too.
Okay.
Well, she's on a parent plan for her phone.
Okay.
I pay for mine myself. And then cars, I bought my car for my mom.
Okay.
And then, so I pay for that myself. She's leasing her car.
Okay.
Even
though your finances are separate, just so you know that you can use, like, USAA and, like, anything like that since you're, like, a spouse. Even though, mm-hmm. like, you don't have, like, your name can be in the account.
Oh, okay.
So, like, most of all of mine and Kate's stuff's all in my name.
Uh-huh.
Just because it was just easier and, like, I like to know that it's getting paid. Like,
did you have, like, better credit or anything? Because I know Emily put her name on all the stuff. She had better credit.
I had better credit. I knew about finances,
okay, well, that's a big one.
You know, and then knowing he was going to deploy,
yeah.
it was easier just to have everything in my name, but
oh,
I,
definitely.
But I put like, we weren't even married when I transferred to USAA because my car insurance was ending, but we were
oh,
getting married. And so I
okay.
called him and I was like, oh, like I'm getting married to him, yada, yada, yada. And they're like, all right, sounds good.
They're like, cool.
You know, and like, obviously he was on it, but most everything is in my name. Like, the housing all stuff has to be in the service member's name, but, like, most everything else is in my name or, like, I handle type thing just because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously had to be added on to Navy Federal because I had to, like, go through him first.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, most anything, because you're the spouse,
yeah.
that all aligns. So, like, even if you're like, oh, I want better, like, I swear by USAA. So, like, if you want something separate, and, like, her name's not tied to it, the fact that you are her spouse and she's active duty gives you all those same privileges.
Oh, well, that's
which is really nice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Because I'm all about saving money because they don't get paid that much.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I like, that's how I am, too. But I definitely wouldn't recommend the, like, separate, finances for like people who have children because that would get really sticky really fast. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, split up the children? I pay for this one, you pay for that one.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know,
if do you guys have an idea about what your future would look like, or is that still like very much undecided, still like to be determined?
I think most of it is kind of like to be determined. Like, over the course of deployment, we ended up like making a like together list, which was just like a list of things that we wanted accomplished together, and like one of those is I've moved personally 3 times within like a course of a year, and so I like never felt like at home anywhere. I'm just kind of like I'm living in this space for a little bit, and so like our big one was like, you know, decorating a house together and like making it a home.
That'll be so fun to do in Quantico.
Yeah, that would be
that
really
would be so fun. And Virginia's awesome. You'll love it.
I've never been, but
it's amazing. You will love it. The traffic's a little
That's why like, I'm trying to get a job on base.
So yeah, if you live on base, that would be probably your best thing, which is what I love here sometimes too, because I'm like, I like look at the 5 and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna turn around and go back home.
Yeah,
you know, like, in Kevin's, I have the commissary if I really need something. Because sometimes the, like, and, like, my parents are coming out, and they are coming. They're coming, they're dropping my sister off, and then they're going to Palm Springs for a couple days, and they're coming back. And I was like, bro, if you don't come back at the right time, you are going to be sitting in traffic. And they're originally going to go all the way up to, like, San Francisco. And I was like, bro, you can do it. But on Saturdays, the 5... COVID's gone. COVID traffic is no longer a thing, which COVID traffic was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
It really was.
You're like, I can do this. And then I'm like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
I cannot do this. This is awful. And so I told him, I was like, you'll sit in it for like 3 hours going south on Saturdays.
Go ahead. Like,
and they're like, we're gonna rearrange the trip. And I was like, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to waste 3 hours of a trip just sitting in a car?
Yeah, but no, you'll, living on base, I think, especially for Quantico, will be really great. And then you're so close to so many things. You can go to Washington, D.C., you can go to New York, you can go to the beach, you can go to so many, I just want to be back on the East Coast so bad, because it's just so close to so many things. And I get that, like, out here you can do it, but it's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like
45 minutes away is, like, you, like, sat in traffic for 45 minutes to go, like, 11 miles.
Yeah, and I just... And maybe this is really bad, and I'm really, really trying to love California, but I'm like, what is the hype? Like, I'm really trying to be like, what is the hype? Because I feel like everyone's like, oh my gosh, you live in California. That's so amazing. And I'm like, do you want to come out here and see what I'm seeing and tell me what I'm missing? Because, like, I feel like California just has this hype. But even when you go to these places that are, like, majorly hyped up, like LA, I'm like,
this is just...
I just watch people shoot up crack. Like, this is gross. Skid Row? Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So, I don't know. And I get that the East Coast has those parts, but it's just not as prevalent here, I feel like.
I agree.
So, but, okay, so you said you have a list that you're kind of like, these are things we want to do together.
Yes. And I feel like, so I know a lot of people, like, especially with lesbian couples, they ask for, like, okay, so, like, what are you going to do about kids?
Yeah.
And, like, that is a big question. And... right now, like, I don't think we really know. I think we want to get through this next reenlistment before we even think about kids. Like, we still have a lot of stuff to do, and I really want to travel outside of the country a bit more.
Yeah.
And do that with her. We have, like, our own goals that we want to accomplish, and, like, until those are fulfilled, like,
that's definitely the part Kate and I are in right now.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, we want to do this, for kids, we want to do this, because we're still so young, too, that it's like... Why, like, we can do that. Let's do it.
You don't want to miss out on life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to, like, not, like, throw it away, but you don't want to jump before you get started.
Yeah.
But I think we have, like, considered, like, some sort of, like, artificial insemination type thing.
So is that where you get, like, sperm from a donor? Or okay.
And we could do it that way. I know they are trying to, do things, like, I've read different articles and stuff where, like, they would take an egg and, like, take the DNA from the other egg
mm-hmm.
and, like, make a child that way.
Oh, that's cool.
But that can only produce a female child. Like, you can't, because there's no Y chromosome.
Yeah.
So, we've considered that, but I can't imagine how much that would cost.
Oh my gosh, I know.
So, I'm like, you know, we might have to pick and choose our battles depending where we are financially.
Yeah.
I
did know, and I don't know exactly how it works with lesbian couples, but I know that IVF is covered under TRICARE, which is technically the same thing because you're taking the egg from the woman and you're mixing it with the sperm and then putting it back in. So, like, I feel like there has to be something that's somewhat covered.
Yeah. You know, I haven't even thought about that. And, I mean, just since, it's not in my forefront, I haven't really looked into it.
Yeah, totally.
But I think if she does decide, well, if she goes to DI school, she would have to, sign another kind of, re-enlistment thing, because that would be 3 years over there. So I think, you know, at that point, depending where we are, in our goals, we might try to, you know, get cracking on that and figure out. You know, we probably need to know, what we want to do at least a year in advance, and then a year after that, you know, then it's finally, the process is getting started.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it takes a long time, too.
With you guys, do you feel like we both want to go through the experience of, carrying a child, or do you feel like one of you's no, take that, go ahead, run with it, I don't need to ever experience that? How do you guys kind of navigate that in that situation? Because you both have the opportunity to, unless, genetically something happened, but you know what I mean? How do you,
I think, I've, talked about it all the time, because, working with children is, the best birth control, but then also gives you the worst baby fever.
Yeah.
It really depends on the day, but I know I definitely want to carry. Emily's kind of you can go first, and I'll see how that goes. She's not against it, but she's not really for it. I think she's kind of, neutral right now. But if she, sees me go psycho or something, she's probably you can either do that again or you can just have one.
So, obviously, with that, that just means that one would have, if you do the, obviously, this is, such a premature topic, but if it, that would just mean, so would it be, because, there, unless you do the thing that you research, it'd be one of your DNAs versus, if she had one, does that make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're saying, and, I know there's another couple that, a lesbian couple that I follow on TikTok, and they have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, one of them, I want to say they're from the same dad, but, you know, each mom ended up having one. And, they're old enough now that they know that, you know, we have, you know, a sperm donor or father, I'm not sure what they call them. But they understand that, you know, I mean, that's what they grew up with, mom and mommy, or, you know, whatever, mama and mom, whatever you want to
Which is so cool.
Them. Yeah, so I think, you know, and I think it's funny because they talked about, when one would pick them up from preschool and they're like, oh, your mom's here. And then they walk up, they're like, no, that's mommy. You know, they really understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would just kind of be you know, a culture thing.
Yeah.
That's just something that would end up working itself out. And I mean, there's always a fear, you know, if we ended up having two separate ones, would you love yours more than you would love the one that came from me?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would come back to the core of, how strong is marriage?
And how strong is, it's still your kid, you know, because even though, if you technically adopted somebody, they might not have your DNA, but you still love them like yours.
Right. And
or
then also,
you marry into
parents.
A family. Yeah.
So I think it kind of, goes under that category, too. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit different genetically.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. I just feel like that's a really neat experience. So, my next question is, how did you guys decide whose name to take?
Oh, I think I was just like, I want to take your name. I was just I jumped the gun on that one. I think I had always, envisioned myself. I mean, you know how some girls do. We just, envision our weddings.
Yeah.
I envisioned myself giving, you know, taking a last name. Just kind of, not throwing mine in the trash. But
having a maiden name.
Yeah. But, that kind of, I don't know, I feel like that stems from, my family experience. I have a very small family. I think my whole family is, 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not like there wasn't much to go by, but I'm like,
you don't have such an attachment.
Yeah, it was just kind of I have me, my cousins, aunt, uncle, my mom. That was, it. And then, so I'm like, she has a larger family, and I'm like, you know, I really want to feel, closer or more involved with her family, because I didn't quite have that experience. Grandparents, a bunch of aunts and uncles, that's great. I love that. I live for that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's so cool. So it wasn't, a hard,
No, I think, I don't know, I just, we kind of, like, knew.
Yeah. Like, that's so cool, though.
I mean, I know some people, like, neither change their last name.
Well, I feel like it's becoming even more popular, like, in heterosexual couples to, like, not change a name, you know?
Especially if you have, like, something going career-wise.
Yeah. I can, like, understand, really, like doctor-wise or, you know, like, when you have some...
and stuff.
Yeah, things like that. And it's funny because I feel like some people are very passionate about, like, not changing their name or certain things like that. And I obviously changed my name. And I think it's funny because I would joke about... And I love Calmer. I'm super happy. And I would joke, like, okay, do you want to take, like, Jeffries, which is my maiden name? And he was like, no. And his dad was really specific because his dad was one of five kids and the only boy. And then Cade was the only boy. And so he's like, hello, carry on the name, please, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I get that we have, like, something to accomplish. And so it's just really funny because I'm like, oh, yeah, you really do have to, like, carry on the name, you know? Yeah. And it really falls on Cade's shoulders. And so I joked about that. And I have an older brother, so, like, he'll technically carry on the name.
Yeah.
But it's funny because some people are very passionate about that. And other people are like, a name, it's a name. You know, right, things like that. Whatever. And I thought, so I did get my diploma in Jeffries. Because I was like, you know, Mackenzie Jeffries really did most of this work, you know.
Yeah.
But there's so many things that, and I think the most, I don't want to say annoying part, but, like, frustrating part is, like, you don't realize how much your name is on everything. And how much you have to change. And you're like, oh my gosh. And then during COVID.
Yes.
It was, I literally just became Mackenzie Culver, I think, like, 2 months ago through, like, the government.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I called the Social Security and they, like, weren't taking people. And I was like, I cannot do my taxes. I cannot get on my banking. Like, because Navy Federal was like, you have to be Culver.
And my friend was like, what? Who are you?
Yeah. And so I, like, called them and I was like, I have to get this. Like, please open your office for me. And so, like, okay, your appointment's this day. And so I show up, no cars in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
They were like, get away from me.
These people are, like, knocking on the door and they're like, and I'm like, oh no. No. And they're like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I have an appointment. And so they're like, yeah, an appointment. And so, like, then the security guard walks out. He, like, looks at me and I was like, I have an appointment for 11 o'clock. And he's like, what's your name? And I was like, Mackenzie. And then I was like, Jeffries Culver. Like,
I know you're like, I don't know what you mean.
And then he's like, okay, you can come in. And I was like, okay, thanks. But changing your name. And then, like, at the PX, if you use, like, so you show me your military ID. And then if you use your credit card, they're like, hey, let me see your credit card.
Yeah,
I look like a freaking moron because I'm like, they're like, it doesn't match. So I pull out every ID I possibly have. So I'm like, here's my old driver's license, my military. I was like, I promise I'm me. And, like, they look at me like, and I'm like, what? Because you're
carry around your marriage certificate.
I had to for probably 3 months because it was when COVID was happening and my military ID was, ID was expiring. And I was flying a bunch, and so I had my birth certificate, my marriage license, my social security card on me at all times. Because I literally flew, like, every other day for, like, 6 weeks for my job. And I was deathly afraid of, like, getting up there and then being like, your ID's expired. And I'm like, but look, it's me, I promise.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my God.
So, but no, changing your name. Like, I'm super grateful and I'm super happy to be a Culver. I would not want anything else in the world. But I'm like... there's so much, and even now my credit cards still say Jeffries, and I'm like, how do you even figure this out? Like, you know, like,
I can't even do it.
So it's been so hard, and then I'm like, even small things that you're like, oh, this account has this, or things like this, and then with my job, I have so many customers that know me as Mackenzie Jeffries, and my dad is my boss, and he's Jeffries, and so the name is just like... like, we're connected, and then the name is just easy to be like, oh, you're Dustin's kid. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got asked, like, well, do you want to change to Culver since you're, like, married now? And I was like, I mean, I'll probably, like, change my voicemail and, like, add Jeffries and call, you know, like, add Culver. But I was like, my work email, because I have so many clients that know me as Jeffries, like, they all know that I got married. But right. I was like, I would hate for someone to call me expecting it to be me and then be like, is this who I'm supposed to be reaching? You know, like, that kind of
right,
thing. So I was like, just keep it as Jeffries for right now. And Cade was obviously so chill and, like,
yeah,
didn't care.
Whatever.
But it definitely is, like, hard to, like, change everything, and, like, there's just so many things you don't realize that are in your name, and then, like, even just, like, bank statements and phone bills and just everything. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, mine was trying to get the unemployment when my
job. Yeah.
Because, like, it was, my work was set up with my old name, mm-hmm. and then, like, you know, my social security card didn't match that, so then they wanted both social security cards and all that other stuff, and they were just kind of like, this is too hard, you're denied. I was like, just like, oh, okay, great.
That's so frustrating.
Because they, like, could not verify, like, and because I had, like, my military ID, like, my school ID. I was like, I can give you everything.
Everything, yeah.
But they were just kind of like, ah, sketchy. No, and totally they were like, agree. Okay, whatever.
So, when thinking about being a military spouse, what do you feel like is the most important thing that you've learned?
Oh, the most important thing I've learned about being a military spouse? That's an interesting question.
Or what's something, like, big that you learned that you're like, oh, I wish other people knew about this?
Oh, I feel like definitely all the stuff that, like, the military offers. Like, you know, there's a bunch of different programs that are just hidden somewhere, somewhere out there. I guess, you know, understanding that, definitely understanding that, like, the military spouse is their own individual person. Like, although, like, military is their life, like, you know, I hear a lot of people like, oh, what is your spouse doing? Like, all about them, and it's like, you know, I have my own goals, I have my own achievements too, and
becoming your own person,
those not, like, still need to be acknowledged.
Identity. Because it's hard, because we have to move with them, and there's so many things that their life affects ours, you know, because I totally agree, like, I moved out here, I didn't lose my apartment, I left my apartment, I didn't necessarily change a job, but you know, like, you just have different things where you're like, I gave up living next to my family, all these things, and it's, like, I willingly did that, and I'm totally fine to do that, but then that also, like, gives and takes other things, just like you were talking about kind of with the finances, like, well, you're moving with her, so something's gonna have to give and take, and sometimes it can be hard to be, like, oh, I really am my own person, I really am.
Yeah, and I didn't really realize that until, like, the, like, thick of deployment. I was kind of, like, I want to say stage, like, 4 or 5, it was kind of, like, you know,
I'm going to have to look into these stages. I'm going to have to do, like, an episode on these stages. I'm very intrigued. I don't know why I didn't know about the, like, actual, like, stages.
Yeah, and, like, it's different for, like, everyone and different things.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of, like, got into my own routine. I was, like, okay, cutting out, like, all social media besides Facebook just because those have, like, such great support groups.
Yeah.
You know, cut out, I felt like the things that were holding me back from getting me where I wanted to end up.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, like, great. I, like, started to get stuff up, started to get, like, you know, myself in order. And I was like, wow, like, I can do a lot. And I, like, I have so much purpose. And, like, I didn't really take the time to work on myself.
Yeah.
You know, because it was all about my marriage. And, you know, I think taking, like, as a military spouse, realizing you're not just a military spouse. Like, there's so much more to you as a person. And, like, you know, acknowledging that to others and stuff is, like, great. Because people will look at you and be like, oh, like, how's your husband? Or how's, you know,
how's your wife? How's your spouse? Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, even when I was, like, when my wife was deployed, I got a lot of calls from her family. Like, oh, I bet you miss her a lot. Like, you know, kind of like that. How are you doing? But, like, the second she got back, those calls, like, stopped.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, then again, you realize, like, I mean, of course they wanted to support me and stuff, but it was more about, like, because she left, not like, oh, how are you doing just in general?
No, I totally get it.
So.
No, I definitely think that's a hard thing. I think that's something that I really like about the podcast, because we have a lot of civilian listeners, is that, like, and I have a podcast coming up, I think in, like, 2 weeks, that talks all about the lingo and how certain times it's like, a civilian will say this, and you're like, you don't know that by saying that is, like, not good, or is frustrating, or just certain things where, and then sometimes, like, and that was something I struggled with growing, like, not when we first got married, people would say stuff, because he deployed, like, I think 10 days after we got married, and so people would say different things, and I'd be like, how dare you say that to me, you know, things like that, and when I had other people that I could go to and, like, rant about it, they were kind of like, I don't think, because, like, they were civilian, too, and they're like, is that bad to say? And I was like, yeah, that's bad to say. What are you talking about? And they're like, oh. Like, you know, and some people are like, yeah, it's bad to say. But having civilians realize, like, hey, say this or don't say this. Or maybe it's better to talk about this instead of that. You know, and just having those things. Because sometimes I feel like it can be really hard to go through those things. And it's like, yeah, my husband did left, or my wife did leave, or, you know, things like that. But I am still my own person, or I am still going through other things, not because of it, type thing.
Right, like, especially, like, if you're going to school, like, you know, you have your midterms and final stuff, and, like, that's just a very stressful time.
Like, how's your school going? Instead of just, like, how are you doing without your spouse?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm doing fine.
Right, exactly. It was a lot of, like, you know, oh, how are you holding up? I, you know, and it's just kind of, like,
ask about other things.
Yeah, like...
And see how we feel about talking about it. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Thank you so much for coming on. This is so great. I feel like I learned so much, and I just am so grateful for you being so open and honest and vulnerable and, like, willing to talk, because I feel like there's so many... It's just a very different dynamic from my marriage, and I think it's really good to, like, learn about other people's, and I know I have a lot of listeners that can learn about it too, and I think being able to see different perspectives help us see, like, oh, I like that they did this, or mm-hmm. I don't like that they did that, but I like that they did this, or I probably wouldn't do that, but I'm glad I see that perspective, or yeah. understand it, and then I think also just having a more understanding and compassion and love and acceptance for the LGBTQ community, I think is very important.
Absolutely.
And that was something that I was really big about trying to have people on, because obviously I'm not that, but I am an ally and I want you guys to feel supported and loved and cared for. And so I'm just really grateful that you came on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I just, it was so great. And I hope all the listeners were able to pick something out that they learned and enjoyed. And
yeah, me too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so I wanted to just close out this episode by doing another quote that I found that I really like. And this comes from Oprah Winfrey, who I just admire so much and is really amazing. And the quote is, "Where there is no struggle, there is no strength." And I feel like that's really important. I feel like as a military spouse, we go through those highs and lows where we like have really good days or we have really hard days. And it's kind of a roller coaster of emotion, but I think all of us can attest to that we're able to really find strength once we get through those hurdles and those hard times, and we look back on those situations and we're like, wow, we were able to get through it and it's made us stronger. And when we have to go through, say, another deployment or another hard situation, you're able to look back and know, like, hey, I can get through this, or I went through something similar and I have that strength. So I just think it's really important to know and remember. And once again, where there is no struggle, there is no strength. And sometimes you got to struggle, and we're all going to go through that, but to see kind of what you're having to learn from this. And I just think it's really important to understand that we're all going through struggles, that nobody doesn't go through those, and to ask for help, because I think that's one of the hardest things to do. But we are a part of this military community, and if you're a civilian, reaching out to your military friends and checking in on them, I think is really important, kind of like we talked about in the podcast. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and I will see you next Friday.